Hey, everybody, Barrett from the All About Nothing podcast. Look, one of the things we love to do is shout out small businesses doing cool things, and ZJZ Designs is one of them. They make these awesome seasonal and themed t-shirts, and they're not just eye-catching, they're high quality. I've ordered a few, and they've held up in the wash after wash. Plus, it feels good knowing I'm supporting a creative shop, not just feeding the Amazon machine. So if you want something fresh, funny, and made with a little extra heart, hit up ZJZDesigns.com. You'll definitely find something there to love. ZJZDesigns.com. Check them out. This fall, get back in the game with EverPlay Sports and Social League, Columbia's home for fun, fitness, and friends. We've got leagues firing up all over town starting September 7th. Flushball softball at T.S. Martin Park, pickleball at Casey Pickleball Complex, turf soccer at Recreation Arena, indoor volleyball at Tri-City Leisure Center, bowling at Lucky Strikes, sand volleyball at Pollywogs, soccer at B Avenue and Bray Park, cornhole at Jay's Corner, hardball softball at Pacific Park, and kickball at M Avenue and B Avenue, including our same team pitch option. Kick it all off at the fall kickoff party, Thursday, September 4th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Jay's Corner. We're giving away a ton of random raffles, and it's the perfect chance to meet your teammates before the season starts. Register by August 21st to dodge the late fees and score some limited edition fall league shirts. Hit everplaysocial.com to lock in your spot. EverPlay Sports and Social, play hard, party harder. So because I promised you, Bill, that I was going to try and do this, I'm going to hold the card.
Without
I'm gonna
hold the notes.
Over here. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to hold the card over here. I cannot see it, so here we go.
Can I see the back of that card?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good. Make sure you weren't cheating.
This is the one that you know I did wrong because it's upside down when it's upside right. All right, here we go. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the All About Nothing podcast. This is the kind of daily show. I am Barrett Gruber. You can follow me across all of social media, across all of it, at Barrett Gruber. This is Bill Kemmler, host of Black, White, and Blue in the South. He is the host of with Dr. Jamil Brooks. You can follow him across all of social media at Political Bill SC. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning. I'll give that a B.
Yeah, I flubbed it a little
bit. It wasn't terrible. I mean, you got all the essentials down. You had a little bit of repetitiveness there. Flow struggled, but you know what? It got the information across. Nothing I would be terribly embarrassed about. B+.
I don't think there was anything when I worked in radio. I don't think there was anything that wasn't written down for me. At least there wasn't like bullet points or something like that that I could go through. I still remember.
I'll tell you, we're on an upcoming episode of Black, White, and Blue in the South. I'm going to be pulling out some clips of my college radio show. So we're going to go back in time to the early 90s, maybe even 1989, when I debuted on college radio for the first time as a 17-year-old freshman student.
Did I ever send you that link to all of my radio demos?
No.
That you could potentially, I'll have to send that to you. It's on my website, barrettgruber.com. Now, if you scroll down to the bottom, there's a link that says radio demos, and there's about 25 or 30 of them from over the course of some of the time on Kix 101.5, Atlanta's great country station. I don't think that's what they are anymore. I think they're still a country station. I think they got rid of the point. So now it's just Kix 101.5, Atlanta's number one country music station.
No, we were Madison, New Jersey, WMNJ. We didn't exactly have the audience of an Atlanta station.
Well, there was a short period of time when I worked at Kix where we were the number one station in Atlanta. We had the number one morning show, but it was short-lived. It didn't, you know, because every station in Atlanta goes through some period of being number one. My favorite radio station was an alternative station that I listened to all through high school. Next, now they're back as the original 99X.
So do you listen to radio at all anymore?
I mostly listen to SiriusXM. I mostly listen to SiriusXM. Not for anything, mostly just because I don't, as a former DJ, I don't like hearing DJs on the radio. Like, if I listen on SiriusXM, if I listen to, like, Lithium, the alternative station, they have Cat Corbett, and they have some other DJs that come on there, but they're awful to listen to. And for me, I don't enjoy it. I don't like hearing their anecdotes. I don't like hearing the upcoming things that they're going to be doing in their life. It just doesn't sound interesting to me. And which is really, really a reversal of what my expectation of people listening to this is that I want them to think it's interesting.
Right. I haven't turned on the radio, SiriusXM, or anything else in decades.
Yeah.
Not everything at all. I listen to is off of my phone, and it's either music or podcasts.
Yeah.
I've got so many podcasts I subscribe to. I am thoroughly hearing exactly what I want to hear. It's diverse. I mean, it's anything from about music to about Stephen King to about Philadelphia Eagles, politics, local, national. I mean, it runs the gamut.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing something new every day. I'm no shortage of podcast episodes to listen to. And every time I've accidentally heard radio, whether it's FM or Sirius XM, it's like, nope.
I imagine you being repulsed. No, thank you.
Nope.
I did not ask for this abuse. Honestly, I did want to ask you because I thought this might be something interesting that I would get out of you. Do you, if you're not listening to podcasts, if you're not listening to books or something like that, are you one of those people that has something on YouTube that you usually go to as far as like your go-to, like,
no,
you just want to veg out on? Really? Nothing?
There's nothing. No. On a rare occasion before I'm going to bed and I'm just, you know, vegging out, maybe I'll hit up YouTube to watch upcoming movie previews. Okay. You know, well, they'll do a collection of here are the top 10 sci-fi fantasy films coming out in the next year, and they'll show a bunch of movie trailers. And sometimes I catch a movie trailer for the first time that way. You know, I'll fast forward to ones I haven't seen yet. But otherwise, there's no YouTube station, channel, nothing on YouTube that I go to.
I have a couple that I'm dedicated to, which is I will watch the monologues from the late night. The late night talk show, so Colbert and Daily Show and whatnot. Kimmel's been off several weeks now. He doesn't even have a guest host this week. Honestly, Fallon's the only one that I skip for the most part. I almost always skip. We got a good morning message from Batty. Good morning, Batty.
Good morning. Are we going to be getting a good morning from Zach? Was he threatening to show up today?
He didn't mention it last night during our session. Also, a really fantastic interview with Caitlin Robrock last night. Caitlin Robrock is the voice of Minnie Mouse.
Oh, okay.
And she is going to be featured at the 2025 Soda City Comic Con as one of the guests. And really interesting talking to her, how she got her start. It was a really good episode. And we look forward to hanging out with her when she comes to town at the end of this month. To Columbia, South Carolina. Tickets available, sodacitycomiccon.com. My go-to YouTube sort of thing is there, and I don't know how it got into my feed, but there are these people in parts of Europe, like I want to say like Czechoslovakia, well, the Czech Republic and places like that, that will do these hour-long videos of them building things like houses and log cabins and stuff, but they build them from scratch. They build them with just the elements, the wood, the mud, and everything they have around them. And I will sit there just engrossed in watching what it is that they're doing. And it is mesmerizing. It's the New Jersey Shore for me. Like, because Jersey Shore is one of those shows I still watch. And it comes on tonight. It's Jersey Shore Family Vacation. I'll watch it tonight because I can sit there and turn my brain completely off to it and just be entranced in whatever it is they have going on. The drama, the love, the whatever. It's so easy to sit there and just completely lose my cognitive connection to reality. But the building stuff on YouTube has always just kind of attracted me to it. And then what I've found lately is that I have really gotten into watching people fish. So videos of watching people fish or the boats that they're buying and that they're using these boats and the equipment they use to fish. I am no good at fishing. I have
zero. Do we attribute this to age and mental decline?
That's probably safe.
Of the billions of hours of videos you could be watching, you're watching people fish.
That's probably safe. I would say that it's some sort of disconnect. Either it's a disconnect from whatever reality is, or it's a disconnect of the synapses in my brain that are telling me, hey, go do something productive.
No, if I had a choice between popping in long form YouTube or going through TikTok, I'm aiming towards TikTok. That's where I'll drift to for brain mush.
So you want to know why I don't go to TikTok as often anymore? Because I get tired of holding the phone and swipe.
Okay.
I apparently am becoming lazier when it comes to...
Well, stay off the dating apps then, because you're going to be hooking up with the first one you meet because you're lazy.
Well, there's...
I'll tell you an interesting thing that came across yesterday on TikTok. There are two South Carolina history accounts that started popping up in my For You page, and both popped up videos about Greenwood, South Carolina, where I live, small little town. And one was about how Greenwood was a center point for civil rights in the 60s, you know, like a did you know type of thing. And then the other video was about how the football field was built on top of a slave graveyard. Neither of those were true. And it was full of AI generated images, AI voices. The one about civil rights was very generic. Like it offered no specifics about Greenwood. Like you could have taken that same video and slapped any town's name over it. And it was just a bunch of AI generated images that had nothing to do with Greenwood. But it said, you know, students would march in the streets and people would protest. And, you know, people were surprised that in this town that the civil rights would be so big. That never happened. None of that happened in Greenwood. Nor the football field built on a graveyard. They gave one specific, and that was the name of the graveyard. It was like Wayfair Cemetery or something like that, which a Google search or any other search does not reveal anything in Greenwood by that name. Nor do they name which high school football field was built on it. But the comments in both of those videos went hundreds deep from people from Greenwood, South Carolina going, I knew it. You know, this place is racist. And it was just clickbaity type of video, but very little discernment of the viewers that, wait a minute, this is just AI slop that was invented. And both of these accounts, Barrett, are only a month old. And they've got dozens of videos, and one's already got 100,000 followers, even though the account was just created in June of this year. But they've got videos about Charleston and Columbia and so on, but all AI generated. None of them are real. It's just a very weird trend. And I'm thinking, to what purpose does this serve?
Yeah. What is the point? How does whoever created the account, whatever, how does that benefit anyone to publicize such false information?
I mean, I found the one about the civil rights march. You know, I saw that one. And then Jamil sent me the one, says, hey, did you know this about the graveyard? And I watched it. I go, it's not really saying anything. All the images are fake. Like they even showed when the guy said, or the voice said about the slave graveyard. And they showed a tombstone and the words on the tombstone were misspelled. It showed died 1987. I was like, well, this is some old slaves. I lived to be 200 years old. It was just bizarre. But they were obviously AI generated images. Right. They didn't look photorealistic. It just puzzled me, you know, and we need to be more discerning when we watch this stuff online.
Yeah. But I think there's a level of intelligence and skill observation, that people have to develop in order to, that they have to be able to, I guess, attach themselves to like the reality versus what it is they're seeing. So I'm not entirely certain how people do that. I mean, I will watch some of the AI videos that are being made fun of by, you know, some of the people on TikTok on the left. So they'll watch some of these MAGA videos of, you know, AI created, where it's someone saying, I left the Democratic Party to go join MAGA because the Democrats weren't representing me, da 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 da. But then you notice like the flag, the first row of the flag only has four stars. Well, the American flag has five stars. And then you see that Trump is spelled T-R-D-U-M-P-F or something like that. And, you know, like on her poster behind her. And then her shirt is just a combination of random letters run together. And like those things I see almost immediately as like, what discount Trump store did you buy this crap at? But the video, like the imaging of the person and the mouth and the movement and everything like that looks so real. And it's, I can see how it would convince somebody if they didn't look past the first layer of what it is they're watching. And it's like, so now I'm concerned, one, people are going to see this and believe it. Two, I'm concerned that they're going to see it and recognize this as being an actual person with actual products that have been specifically placed behind them. But I also start to dissect the entire thing. Like, if you're such a Trump supporter and you're all in on MAGA and all of that, like, can you afford a nice nylon flag behind you, as well as the gold embroidered Trump sign that's over your head, and then this brand new white t-shirt that says a bunch of random letters that don't make any sense, that are not actually a word. Those are the things that I wind up looking at and causing or bringing attention to myself. I don't know. And ultimately, like, that, it's full of it. I would say if I scroll past 20 videos, four of them are some sort of AI generated video that's intended on giving me a false impression of what I'm actually seeing.
Yeah. There's a viral video of a bear jumping on a trampoline. Have you come across that one yet? It's a backyard cam of somebody's backyard. So it's, you know, night cam.
Okay, yes. And I've seen that one.
A trampoline, and you see this bear just kind of wandering through the backyard and then hops onto the trampoline, bounces up and down a couple times like it's having fun, and then walks away. That's 100% AI generated video. And it's one of the most realistic ones you've seen, but a couple of tricks that they used, the fact that it was night so they could, you know, kind of gloss over the details a bit. The fact that it looked like it was a backyard cam. So it set a scenario that was a kind of commonplace that you wouldn't really think that AI is there. But as you watch it, you can see that there is a ball that is on the trampoline that doesn't move while the bear's jumping up and down. Like, that's the biggest telltale thing. But it's purely AI, and it wasn't marked as such. And it got, I think it even made national news, you know, as it got on the talk shows, the morning talk shows. But AI generated. And it's amazing to think how fast that technology ran into our lives. Just a couple of years ago, as they were playing around with AI generated videos, it was comically nightmarish. Like people's hands going through walls or through each other's faces or 10 fingers and body parts that don't align and just a lot of weirdness. And even the videos themselves got hallucinatory very quick. So you're thinking, oh, wow, you know, it's still impressive what they could do, but yeah, this is crap. But within 2 years, it is now becoming very, very difficult to discern between real and fake. And we're well past Photoshopped images now.
I mean, yeah.
We're voices, we're video, everything. It's frightening. Yeah.
Well, you know, the last couple of elections, I think that I was one of the big concerns was that there was going to be this onslaught of these deep fake videos with, like, President Biden saying something or President Trump saying something, you know, and that was one of the big concerns and how that was going to play a role in the election. And then we're so far past that.
Podcast, remember we had you on to celebrate our 1 year anniversary.
Yeah.
And Jamil heard your voice. You said hello.
Immediately thought. Yeah.
And she immediately thought that I was AI-ing your voice. And you had to say something personal to prove to her that, no, you were alive, and that was that was real Barrett, not AI Barrett.
She was very suspicious of me right off the bat, and good on her. Good on her. No, I was also going to say, I saw a video, and now I'm questioning whether or not it was real, but it was actually a bunch of bunnies jumping on a trampoline.
Oh, I just saw one this morning with deer jumping on the trampoline. They've got every animal in the universe jumping on the trampoline now as kind of the thing to do.
Do you think this is big trampoline out there trying to sell more trampolines?
Right.
Hey, I did want to bring up another topic.
You can't. You have to segue smoother than that. You have to find a natural way to delve into that topic. You can't just break like that.
I can do it. Speaking of trampolines, Canada has jumped on the trampoline with France and UK on recognizing Palestine as a state. So basically, we're mounting more pressure.
Let's be careful. Did the UK officially recognize? The UK threatened to, but I don't think they have officially recognized yet.
All three of them are threatened. Yeah. Well,
no, France did. France is official.
So, but it's all basically if Israel is going to continue to allow for the starvation and the continued attacks and bombings on Gaza, that there's going to be a push to recognize a Palestinian state. Why is it taking this long? I mean, the land that they're disputing, this is the same land that 50, 60 years ago, Israel was willing to give up in order to make peace with the Arab nations around them. And the Arab nations shot it down. Egypt was one of them. Jordan. These were countries that immediately said, we're absolutely not interested in peace with Israel ever. Was that before we were arming Israel with, you know, and I know you weren't there. I guess I'm just asking the question to try and figure out like what the thought process is. Because now
I'm offended that you just anticipate I'm going to give a smart aleck answer.
No.
You decided to cut me off at the pass and say, I know you weren't there.
I was trying to make sure that people understood.
I didn't even move my mouth to open it, and you've already assumed I was going to be a jerk.
Bill is not as old as sometimes we play off of, you know, whether how old we are.
I'm older.
Not that much older.
Yeah, to be honest, the whole story about Israel is one of the most talked about subjects in any realm. And there's very little that I think I can offer that's new. I'm sure it's zero that I can offer that's new and hasn't already been said. It's just a shame how a nation that had the absolute support, unanimous support of every nation on earth just about the days following that October massacre and the months following that October massacre, they had the goodwill of every nation on earth just about. And now that it's dragged on and they have now become the merciless slaughterers that they've become, and I'm talking about the government of Israel, they've lost all that goodwill and possibly for generations to come. When the history books are written and the stories are written and the testimony is given about this, it's just such a shame that they've completely squandered it. And I never thought that I would be anti-Israeli government. Never thought that that would happen. Yet here we are, because we see the actions that they're taking. We see the corruption of the highest levels of their leadership. And it's a shame, because I work with Israelis every day as part of my job. We have a team, a big, large team, a division, in fact, in Israel. Great people. You know, I have no complaints about any of the coworkers. They're wonderful. They work hard, very smart, love the debate. It's a pleasure working with them, but you have to separate the people from the government. Now, Europeans seem to be able to do that about Americans, right? They can separate the citizens who travel abroad from the government that's in place, and they say, we feel sorry for you.
Truly appreciate the fact they do that.
Yeah, and I feel that same way about Israelis who feel like they're stuck with this government and they're having a hard time getting them out of there. But when you heard that story of the former U.S. soldier who was in Palestine delivering supplies or aid or something, and he gave the testimony to a British newspaper. So this is a guy who's decorated in service. He knows what he's talking about, but he's also unfettered because he doesn't report to the United States government anymore. To a British journalist, he relayed the story of what he saw, and he saw indiscriminate firing upon innocent Palestinians by the Israeli soldiers. Literally massacres. He says he saw it on a regular basis. Says they are just unleashed a monster, and it is really tough to put that monster back in the cage. And I just saw last night. Well, I think it was last night. I have to check the timing on it, but I believe there was a motion by Bernie Sanders to halt U.S. arms sales to Israel because of what's happening in Gaza right now. And 20-some Democratic senators voted against it, including some of the names that, you know, you and I come to know and love, said no. And I just would love to know their rationale at this point in time. Maybe if it was a year ago, certainly 2 years ago, you know, that's a no-brainer. But now, what are they doing with all that weaponry still?
There is, I think I saw one of the reports said that there have been, the estimate now is 60,000 non-military deaths in the, I guess, on the side of Palestine.
It's like the United States, you know, horrific action of bombing Hiroshima and Nagasaki in World War II, but they were still in the midst of a war. It brought that nation to their knees, that action, and nobody is happy about it because of the tens of thousands of deaths that resulted. But it's as if the United States kept bombing all the cities after the fact, you know? And now there goes Tokyo, and now there goes these other prefectures, and here, you know, city after city in Japan destroyed well beyond the point where they just were incapable of operating. That's what it feels like Israel is doing right now. And so that's pretty much all I can say on that subject.
Well, it's at some point, you know, because I recognize it basically as a genocide. They are attempting to, because they are firing on women and children, this is a modern genocide, and they are attempting to wipe out these Arab people from the earth. And to what benefit? Like, the land that these people occupy, Israel didn't even want it. For decades, they did not want this land. It's arid, it's desert land. There's nothing that they can really do with it. There may be oil there, but ultimately, when I look at what most governments do, what is the reason behind them doing this? What benefit do they get out of it? And they'll tell you it's because they're trying to wipe out Hamas. They're trying to wipe out a terroristic organization. But if you continue to make and turn these people into an example of the brutality that the Israeli government can inflict on people, then you're just going to continue to create people that are going to be against you. You know, you mentioned separating the people from the government. I am so thankful that people in India and in Europe, China, that they don't necessarily see every American citizen as a representation of what Donald Trump and his administration are doing. The same as there were people in Germany that fled. Albert Einstein fled Germany, you know, during Hitler's rise and came to the United States. I think that's right. The numbers might be not.
Yeah, he went to Switzerland first. Yeah.
He fled Germany, you know, along with many, many Germans who didn't see themselves in line with what was going on. You know, fleeing the United States sort of really isn't, I know people talk about it, but you don't really see, I guess Rosie O'Donnell did it. She went to Ireland, so extremely jealous of Rosie O'Donnell on that one. But no, I'm, you know, the fact that other people in other countries don't necessarily recognize Americans as all being attached and in line with Donald Trump is, I'm extremely grateful for, because, you know, one of these countries may have to play host to Americans that didn't want this or didn't vote for this, or, you know, however, whatever cliche you want to throw at it. But I don't know. And I don't, you know, as far as having, how many senators voted against halting arms? Did you say 22?
It looked to be just over 20 Democratic senators voted against Bernie Sanders's resolution.
So the only thing that I can assume is that whatever lobbyist organization that works to the benefit of the Israeli government in the United States, they must have a ton of money they're funneling into some of these senators. Bernie Sanders is Jewish. And while he supports the Jewish community in, you know, in a lot of the things that he does, he doesn't support the Israeli government. And I don't know how anyone can't look at Benjamin Netanyahu and not say war criminal. Like, that is what he is at this point. He is under indictment for crimes and money laundering and all of these other things that have been alleged against him. And now he is overseeing the genocide of a neighboring people, all because he's got a grudge against a terrorist organization that, and I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that I agree with the role that Hamas is playing in this, because it's...
And that's how it always gets twisted, right? You know, yeah. You criticize the Israeli government, and now you are pro-terrorist, which is the most dishonest argument anybody can make.
Oh, for sure. Well, it's weak, and it's the argument made of weak people. I will say this. I am really getting tired of agreeing with Tucker Carlson on things, with the videos that are being posted. And I know his entire show isn't like that. It's not, they are specifically putting out videos that make him look like he is in disagreement with this Trump administration, or that he is fundamentally against some of the decisions that are being made. And I recognize that Tucker Carlson and I probably don't agree on 99.9% of the issues. But when I see him look and speak to the things that, like, former Governor Huckabee says, or he is talking about Dan Bongino of the FBI or Kash Patel, like, when I see him talk about those things and these clips are pieced together, I'm almost like, fuck, I want to reshare that. But it takes everything in me not to hit the like button and not to reshare it, because...
Let's talk Kash Patel for a second. So when you and Zach were talking about Kash Patel on Saturday, it cracked me up. Did you see the picture I sent you about people taking Kash Patel's eyes and putting them on the rest of the administration? One of the funniest things ever. I'm like dropping my phone trying to get that to you so fast. But one thing I discovered about Kash Patel is that he wrote children's books.
Yes, he did.
Before he was in the FBI, he published some children's books that were very pro-Trump, about how pro-Trump came and saved the day, but it was told in a fairy tale format, and it even launched a bunch of sequels. But you got it up on the screen, or what are you showing here? Yeah. Oh, there it is. Put Kash Patel eyes on everybody, and yeah, you can look at them a little bit better.
Like, and ultimately, so looking at this picture, what you want to do is you want to look at it and go, okay, they had to have altered some of these the only alteration they did was move his eyes out on some of the faces or move them in on some of the faces. That's it. The angle of all of the eyes is exactly matching the angle of his eyes.
So Donald Trump Jr., what do you think about his ex-wife now being in a serious romantic relationship with Tiger Woods? Come back on camera, man. I'm going nuts looking at this picture.
I'm trying. There we go.
There we go. Thanks.
That's one of those, that's one of those situations. I think that it's mostly reading the situation. I think that is her basically giving the middle finger to Donald Trump Jr. because he was cheating on her. She had no idea. She had just been rewarded with this embassy position, ambassador position to Greece, which, that's one of those places where I'm like, yeah, send me to Greece. I'll go be an ambassador for the United States in Greece, not under this administration, obviously, but it was sort of like she got sent to Greece. And then while she's in the preparations of being Senate confirmed and then eventually going, she finds out that Donald Trump Jr. is now dating somebody, having not ended their relationship, but out in public with this, 15 year less, her, the ex-fiance. I think that dating Tiger Woods is basically like, this is who I'm pulling now. And it's, good for her. Because Tiger Woods is rich and, she comes from a decent amount of money. She'll never be on Fox News again because I don't think Tiger Woods is on Fox News. Yeah.
Could be. I mean, he's very friendly with the Trump family.
Everybody. Yeah, that's true. Well, it's a golf thing, maybe. Who knows?
Well, yeah, it's golf and wealth. But
Tiger Woods has also commented on podcasts about how much Donald Trump cheats at golf. So who knows? Because there isn't a single celebrity that I have not heard tell a story about Donald Trump cheating at golf.
Is Trump Jr. still with that clown face Kimberly Guilfoyle? Are they still a thing?
No, Kimberly Guilfoyle. No, Guilfoyle is the one that's the ambassador to Greece.
Oh. Yeah, okay. Guilfoyle, I thought you were talking about his wife was being appointed ambassador to Greece. But right, it was Guilfoyle.
Yeah, it was Guilfoyle. Okay. Yeah.
So that's ended. Got it. Now I'm on board with you.
Yeah, I don't think anyone who recognizes Trump genes thinks that it's a good idea to get married to Trump, of the Trumps at this point.
Did Donald Jr. have kids with that wife?
Are with Guilfoyle? Progeny?
No, with the wife.
Previous wife, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now his kids get to call Tiger Woods stepdaddy.
Yeah.
At some point.
See, it all adds up to a special FU.
Wow. And so now Christmas time, Donald Trump Jr. is going to give, some sort of gold-plated Trump shoes to the kids, and Tiger Woods is going to give a mansion to the kids. Like, it's not even going to be fair.
Here's your Cadillac Escalade.
Yeah.
Because the Trumps can't get credit enough to buy a car. Apparently, the Tesla had to be paid for with cash. So, when Donald Trump said, I'm going to buy a Tesla, he apparently had to pay cash because there was not credit to extend through any of the banks, including
Tesla's
own. Where is
that Tesla now? Now that the Musk fallout has happened, where is that?
Apparently, Tesla? It's still sitting in the White House. I'd love to see if I could get a current satellite view of the Tesla sitting in the parking lot of the White House. But yeah, there have been multiple reports about how the fact that the Tesla was being used by staffers to drive up and down in Washington, D.C. It's being used basically as a government vehicle to go back and forth for things.
I got an early work call I got to attend this morning. Okay. So we're going to need to wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up then. That's going to do it for today. Bill, thank you very much for being here. Big thanks for everybody tuning in. Don't forget, you can follow me at Barrett Gruber. You can follow Bill at Political Bill SC. We do this every Tuesday and Thursday, so make sure you join us next Tuesday as we talk about our YouTube kinks. That's what it is. Until next time, you all stay safe.
We're also going to talk about, you and I are seeing each other this Saturday morning here in Greenwood.
Yes, we are.
So we'll have chance to talk about what happens here.
We'll do a little biscuit arm swap thing going. No pictures.
Don't even know what that is.
Okay.
What is biscuit arm swap?
I will teach you. It's where you interlock your arms as you feed each other biscuits. Never mind.
Is this with the shirts on or off? I'm not even understanding where we're going here.
I am never going to make you see me with a shirt off. Till next time, you all stay safe, be kind, and keep your hands to yourself.
Get ready, Columbia. Soda City Comic Con 2025 is turning up the heat this summer. It all goes down August 23rd and 24th at the Columbia Metropolitan Convention Center, and the guest lineup is already packed with fan favorites. Let's start with Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah.
Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica and Bo-Katan Kreese from The Mandalorian and Clone Wars. She's a sci-fi icon and one of the coolest people to ever wield a blaster. Then there's John Heder, the man, the myth, the Napoleon Dynamite. From Blades of Glory to Surf's Up and everything awkwardly hilarious in between, he's bringing the signature charm to Soda City. And rounding it out, we've got Caitlin Robrock, the incredible voice of Minnie Mouse in Mickey Mouse Funhouse, Minnie's Bowtie Tunes, and many more. She's also voiced characters in Agrisuko, Amphibia, and Mr. Pickles, a true animation powerhouse. They'll all be there, signing autographs, taking selfies, and meeting fans all weekend long. And this is just the beginning. Even more celebrity guests are being announced. So keep checking SodaCityComicCon.com for the latest updates, guest lists, ticket info, and VIP perks. Make your summer unforgettable. Grab those tickets and come celebrate all things pop culture at Soda City Comic Con.
The preceding podcast is a product of Big Media, LLC, and is copyright 2025, all rights reserved.
Hey everybody, it's Barrett from the All About Nothing podcast. Make sure to mark your calendars. The 10th Masters of Putt-Putt tees off Friday, August 22nd at Frankie's Fun Park from 6:30 to 8:15. Teams of three or more, dressed in themed outfits, they will battle for glory and prizes. Register your team by August 21st and don't be late. Putting starts at 6:45 sharp. Check out everplaysocial.com for more details. Everplay Social's 10th Masters of Putt-Putt, again, August 22nd at Frankie's Fun Park in Columbia.